So we are holding on Ayin Hey Amud Beis by the Mishnah. So now we've gone through the 39 Malachas of Shabbos, and now we're going to start going through the details of many of them. So some of them we went through some details in the Gemara already, apparently because the Mishnah itself doesn't really go into that level of detail, so it left it for the Gemara to do. But now we're going to go through many of the Malachas and deal with the details of them. In particular, for a lot of them, we're going to deal with the minimum shear of it that a person needs to do to be chai of chattas, or chai of whatever penalty. For example, earlier in the parak we said that most malachas involving food, the shear is a kegregeris. So for example, grinding, baking, et cetera, the kneading, the shear for those is a kegregeris. We're going to start from the malacha of haitzah and more or less work our way backwards through all the malachas. We start with haitzah. First of all, sometimes there's a style in various places in the Mishnah. They start a list, finish off the list, and then they begin from the end of the list and start discussing it. You have it in a number of places, where the Mishnah will say, there's this and there's that. And then it'll begin discussing that, and eventually it'll get back to this. So that's one way. That's one reason. Another reason is because when you think of it, out of the 39 malachas, haitzah is the most common. You carry things around all the time. It's one of the reasons why our masechta began with the matter of haitzah. So therefore, it's a sensible one to begin with. So we're going to go now, the end of our perek, and the entire 8th perek, and the second half of the 9th perek. The first half is going to be digressing to other topics, which we'll get to at Be'ez Hashem, and the beginning of the 10th perek. Are all going to talk about, for each kind of thing that a person might carry on Shabbos, there's a minimum shear. So our Mishnah is going to lay down the general rules for that. So the Mishnah says, V'od klal acher amru. The Chachamim said another general rule, meaning we had the big rules at the beginning of the parak. The parak is called klal gadol after its initial words, and we had over there the great rules about Shabbos, where a person doesn't know about Shabbos at all, where they knew about Shabbos, where they didn't realize today was Shabbos, where they didn't know that the malachas are osur, and the different numbers of chatois that a person brings, as we discussed in the sugya at the beginning of our parak. And then we said, so there's klal gadol and there's klal acher, another rule. Our Mishnah is that other rule, which is regarding the details of the malachas of carrying. Anything which is suitable to be put away, meaning you have something which is useful, something which a person, as the Gemara is going to say, for example, not something that nobody would ever put away because it's disgusting. They just throw it in the garbage, or things that are also bahana. We'll talk about that in the Gemara. So something that's not like that, something that has a useful or functional purpose, or even if it's not useful right now, let's say, but you'd store it away so that you can use it when you want it. So that, and it's the amount that a person would put away, it's not a tiny drop or something. Well, it's Siyah the Shabbos, and then he carries that out on Shabbos, Chayiv Chatos Olav, then he'd be Chayiv Chatos for carrying it on Shabbos. So to take as an example, the next Mishnah on the next Omud, on Ayin Vav Omud Aleph, is going to talk, for example, about different kinds of straw. You have, for example, a certain kind of straw which a cow can eat. So if you have, let's say, one stalk of that straw, so first of all, straw itself is kosher lasnia. You would, if you had some, you'd put it away because eventually you have to feed your cow. But if you have only one stalk of it, you're not going to bother putting it away. You're not going to bother storing away one stalk of straw on theory that later on you're going to find another stalk and then eventually you're going to have enough. You can see that one stalk is not important enough to keep. But if you had enough to be able to feed a cow, then you would hold on to it. So that's what the Mishnah is saying, therefore. So if you carry out that amount of straw on Shabbos, then you're chayav chatos. If you have something that is not suitable for putting away, meaning because, as the Gemara is going to say, it's something a person would, it's the kind of thing in any quantity that a person would throw away or that is also b'ana or whatever, the ein masniyin kamayu, or it's something which it's an amount which a person doesn't put that away. So like the example I gave, let's say one stalk of straw, v'hotziya the Shabbos, if you carry it out on Shabbos, ein echayev ela hamasniyin. So only a person, only the individual person who put that away and now is carrying it on Shabbos would be chayev. Meaning, so you might have, for example, let's say with the, so let's say for example, the Gemara is going to give an example of dam nida, which is something that's not something that's kosher latnia. Most people, a cloth that has dam nida on it, they're just going to throw away. Unless if you have to ask the shayla for the rub, that's different. But if you know for a fact that it's nida, that's dam nida, then you're not going to keep it. You have no reason to. You just throw it away. So therefore, so what happens, though, if a person does decide to keep that for whatever reason, and then they carry it on Shabbos? So then, for that person, it's called, there's a concept in halacha called achshavei. Achshavei means he made it important, which means exactly that. He decided that it has importance to him. He kept it, even though most people would not. So therefore, for him, he'd be chayav if he carries it on Shabbos, because to him, it has significance. And that kind of, that concept of achshavei comes up in a lot of other areas of halacha also. One is, for example, you have when it comes to chametz on Pesach is one of many examples where you have a, you could have something that was made with chametz, but the chametz is now not edible or not or whatever, and you'd be allowed to keep it around on Pesach. But if achshavei, if you decided that it's important to you, then it would be also to keep it around on Pesach. You have other examples as well. So here also the idea is that the person kept around this cloth with dam nida on it, let's say, then he'd be chayav for carrying it on Shabbos, because the fact that he kept it around and didn't just throw it in the garbage shows that he considers it important, and therefore for him it's significant enough that if he carries it on Shabbos, he's chayav chatos. But for a regular person, for a different person, no, because a different person was not achshavei. We're going to see in the Gemara different opinions on that subject. But those are the basic rules that the Mishnah lays down. And the same thing again. If you have something which in and of itself is useful, but it's a smaller quantity than is useful, like again, one stalk of straw, then again, one person might decide to keep that around for whatever reason. Nobody else cares about it. So therefore, he'd be chayav for carrying it on Shabbos, nobody else would. Okay. When we say anything that's suitable to put away, what do we mean as opposed to what? What's an example? What do we mean by something that nobody would put away? So two opinions. Rav Papa Amala Puki Dam Nida. Rav Papa says it comes to exclude Dam Nida. So again, obviously, if you have to ask the Shaila for the Rav, then you would keep it. But we're talking about where you don't have to keep it for that reason, because you already know that's Dam Nida. So therefore, nobody would keep it. They would just throw it away. Ma'ukva Amala Puki Asi Asheva. Ma'ukva says that it actually comes to include something different, which wood from an asherah tree, or anything else that's used for avodah zarah, which is also b'hana. You have in fact a mitzvah to destroy it. So Tosfos points out that actually later on in the ninth parak, we're going to learn that Rabbi Yehuda actually disagrees. Actually, Rashi mentions it over here also, that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that later on and says that actually things of avodah zarah, a person is chayev for carrying out on Shabbos, even a tiny amount, because you have a mitzvah to destroy them. So therefore, like the fact that you have a mitzvah involving it is achshavei, that gives it a certain importance. The Chachamim over there disagree with that. So our Mishnah is telling us like the Chachamim, according to Ma'ukba's understanding, it's telling us like the Chachamim that asei asherah are not considered kol hakosher la'asniyah, they're not considered something that's significant to put away, because the fact is it's also b'hana and you can't use it for anything. So why do we have two opinions? The Gemara says, manda omer dam nida kol shekein asei asherah. Rav Papa, who mentioned the dam nida, he would agree that for sure the asei asherah, if a person carries them on Shabbos, is not chayav chatos, again, unless he personally put it away and showed that actually. Because obviously, if even dam nida, which is not also b'hana, is not considered kol hakosher la'asniyah, how much more so asei asherah, which is actually also b'hana. Manda Omar Ase Asherah, whereas Ma'ukva, who says that the Mishnah is referring to wood of an Asherah tree, he would say, but Avo Damnida Masna Lelashunra. He would say Damnida, not necessarily you would just throw away. If you have Damnida, you would actually hold on to it maybe because you could feed it to a cat. So therefore, it has a use. So therefore, we're going to learn later on among the Shiurim that we're going to learn is the Shiur if a person carries blood on Shabbos, how much does he have to be carrying in order to be chayev? So the same thing over here, it's something that's possible to use. It has a use on Shabbos. So a person might well put it away for that purpose. V'idach, so what would Rav Papa answer to that? He would say, no, even then you would never feed dam nida to a cat, kibin the cholsha loy masnale, because it'll weaken and therefore he's not gonna hide it away. Who is it gonna weaken? So Rashi says that it means if you give blood from a person to a cat or to any other animal, that person is going to become weak. So therefore, according to Rashi, in other words, it means not only dam nida, we're just giving that as an example of blood. It would apply to any kind of blood. But, you know, we have, for example, you have the Gemara mentions in nida, we learned it when we learned nida, about when a person cuts their nails, where we said surfan chosid, where if a person burns the fingernails, then he's a chosid, he's going to finim the shirat adin, because then he makes sure that a pregnant woman won't step on them and get harmed. In general, Tosfos mentions if there are concepts that a person, that if a person burns or feeds to an animal or whatever, something that used to be part of their body, something that used to be attached to their body, then it causes them to be weak or it harms them or whatever. And therefore we said that's why the person is a chassid, that he's willing to put himself in harm's way in order not even to take the chance that somebody else might step on his cut fingernails and get harmed by it. So even though for him it's a vade and for the other person it's a suffix, he's a chassid for doing that. So the same thing over here, then the idea would be that if you give the dam nida to a cat, then it'll have, somehow it causes the woman who that dam nida from is going to become weak. Therefore, the papa says you wouldn't do that. Okay, there's a different explanation that maybe it means it'll make the cat weak. Whatever, the point is, the papa is saying, therefore, you wouldn't feed dam nida to a cat. Therefore, it's not Dabra Akasha Lasnia, whereas Ma'ukba says you might. Okay. So Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina tells us you should know that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shimon at the beginning of the next parak. Because Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the whole premise of the Tanakhama. When we say in the Mishnah that if you have kosher lasnia and kosher lasnia, masnia and kamayu, that you have it's something that has a use and it's an amount that most people would do it. So we said everybody is chayav for carrying it, but Rav Shimon disagrees. He says only, that would only apply to somebody who actually puts that away. Meaning, in other words, that, like this, let's say, for example, you have, again, with the amount of straw, let's say, which is the first example in the next Mishnah. So we're going to say over there the amount of straw that a person is chayav for carrying on Shabbos is the amount that would fill up the mouth of a cow. Because that means, in other words, you can give it to a cow to eat. Now, let's say, for example, a rich person might not care about that amount of straw. For them, one handful of straw like that that you could use to put in a cow's mouth doesn't mean anything to them. They wouldn't bother keeping it. They would only bother keeping if they have a larger amount of straw to feed their animals. So the Tana in our Mishnah is saying that doesn't matter. Once we establish an amount that most people would keep because it has a use, then anybody is chayav for it, rich or poor or whatever. Reb Shimon disagrees and says, no, only a person who actually keeps that amount, for him it's chashuv. For a rich person, let's say you would need a larger amount. But our Mishnah is disagreeing with Reb Shimon on that. Rashi over here is saying that Rav Shimon disagrees with the Tanakhama only on that one point. A bunch of Rishonim point out that actually in the beginning of the next parak, Rashi says that Rav Shimon is actually arguing with the second din in our Mishnah as well, which is we said that if it's a smaller amount that most people don't keep, but he decided to keep it, then he's chayev if he takes out, even though it's a smaller amount. So Rav Shimon would be disagreeing with that also and saying that, no, even if this person actually, even if he took a one piece of straw and put it away, Rav Shimon would say, according to Rashi and according to these Rishonim, that Rav Shimon is disagreeing with that also. Even that person would only be chayav if it's the amount of straw that you can feed a cow. So in other words, he disagrees with this concept of Akshvei. So Rashi himself says as much at the beginning of the next parak. Over here, Rashi just says that Rav Shimon disagrees with the first part of our Mishnah. So one possibility is Rashi changed his mind. Although Tosfos over here seems to understand the Rashi later on the same way as he says it over here, that it means that Rav Shimon is only disagreeing on the one part of the Mishnah. Okay. Anyway, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina wants to tell us that some part of our Mishnah doesn't go according to Rav Shimon, either the first part only or both parts. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah of a Chol She'enei Kosher L'Atnia, we said anything that's not suitable to put away, if a person or if an amount that a person doesn't usually put away, then only he is chayav for it, because again, Akshavei, he showed that it's important to him, therefore he's chayav for carrying it on Shabbos, nobody else is. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, hard to like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says that last part of the Mishnah is not like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Titania, because we learn in the Braisa, Klal Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Kol She'enei Kosher L'Atnia, Rav Shimon ben Elazar said the rule of our Mishnah differently. If you have something which is not Kosher L'Atnia, something which is not suitable to put away because to keep, because as in the examples we had before, the dam nida or the wood from the Asherah or whatever, because you don't have any use for it, the ein matnian kamaru, or if you have something which it itself is functional but it doesn't have enough of a shear to bother with, the hoksha lazeh, but one person decided that it's suitable for him, he wants to keep it, and he goes and puts it away, and then somebody else takes that very same item that he put away. What happens is the second person becomes chayev based on the first person's machshava. So in other words, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, the fact that Reuven, for example, achshavei, this one piece of straw, now makes it that if Shimon carries that piece of straw on Shabbos, then he is chayev chayev. Whereas again, the Tana of our Mishnah had said not like that. If Reuven is achshavei to that one piece of straw, then Reuven himself is chayav for carrying it on Shabbos. But Shimon is not, because Shimon never showed that achshavei that it's important to him. But if Shimon Elazar is saying that it does, once one person decides it is, then it applies to everybody. You have two opinions about the Reisha of the Mishnah and three opinions about the Sefer. In the Reisha, the Reisha, okay, everybody agrees. So in the Reisha, you have like this. We said that anything where you have an amount which you would be Masniya, then everybody is Chayav Chatzos for that. And we said Rav Shimon disagrees with that. And says that only a person who would normally put away that amount is chayav for it. But let's say a rich person who that small amount doesn't matter to him, the amount, let's say, to feed a cow would actually not be chayav for it. He'd need a larger amount. So you have two opinions on that. As far as the sefer, when we're saying that if a person puts away one piece, for example, then he's chayav. So you have Rav Shimon Elazar is saying that that even a smaller amount, everybody is chayev, whether he put it away or not, whether he achshavei or not. The Tana of our Mishnah says that no, only the person who puts it away is chayev, everybody else is not. And Rav Shimon is saying that no, that even for that person, there's no such thing as achshavei, and even he would only be chayev for the regular shear that everybody else is. The halacha is like a chachamim in both those things. So therefore, again, if there's not a situation of achshavei, if we're just talking about a regular amount that most people would put away, then everybody is chayev for it. And if it's an amount that one individual person decided to put away, then he'd be chayev and everybody else would not. So again, we're going to revisit this in the first Mishnah of the next parak on Omid Beis. And then we're also going to mention these concepts again at the beginning of the 10th parak. But now we're going
to
go.
It's interesting that the Mishnah makes no mention whatsoever to the concept of Achshavi. Where do we get that from?
Because the Mishnah is implying it. The Mishnah doesn't use the word Achshavi, but you see in the Mishnah, when it said, V'chol she'ene kosher l'asniyah, v'ein masniyin kamoyu, v'hotziyeh b'shabbos, ene chayev elah ha-masniyoy, that's saying the concept of Achshavi, but in other words, that you have something which it's not a significant amount for most people to keep, but this person kept it and carried it out on Shabbos, and he's chayav for carrying it on Shabbos. That is the concept of achshavei, just expressed in different words.
Yes. But it might mean just it's important to that person for that specific time, not all the time.
Ah, so we're going to talk about later on. We're going to talk about where, let's say, the person we're going to get to eventually, Bez Hashem, where, for example, you might have, yes, the person kept it temporarily, now decided he doesn't need it anymore, let's say, and throws it away, and then he picked it up on Shabbos and carried it, then we're going to say that, yeah, that undoes it, actually. Yeah, then he'd be like anybody else with that. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that concept. We'll get to that concept in the 10th class, Bez Hashem. Okay. So now we're going to go through, again, beginning from our Mishnah, and running through the entire next parak, as well as half of the ninth parak, we're going to be dealing with different kinds of things that a person might carry on Shabbos. For each one, there's a different shiur. Where, again, for each thing, there's an amount, which the Chachamim figured out, this is the amount that for an average person would be significant enough to keep. So the Mishnah says, Hamoisi Tevin, if a person carries out Tevin on Shabbos, Tevin means straw, but we're actually going to be talking about in our Mishnah about three different kinds of straw. So Tevin is one type. Later on in the Masechta, Rashi explains that it means straw that's been cut up and threshed. So that amount, kimloy pi para, a person is chayav on Shabbos if he carries out the amount of it that would fill up the mouth of a cow. Because that's the kind of food that you would feed a cow. You wouldn't feed it to smaller animals like a sheep or a goat because they can't chew it. So you might, as the Gemara is going to say, but ordinarily you wouldn't. So therefore, that's the amount. Also, on the other hand, if a person carries out on Shabbos also, which we're going to see in the Gemara what it is, it's a harder kind of straw. So that kind a cow doesn't normally eat. Therefore, kimloy pi gomol, you need a larger amount to be chayav. You need an amount that would fill up the mouth of a camel. Because otah is the kind of thing that camels will eat because they're tougher, but not cows. Omer, then if you carry out on Shabbos omer, which is another kind of straw. So Rashi just defines it here. Omer, Rashi defines kashin shel shibolin. Straw from stalks of grain. So evidently it's softer than Tevin because the amount of it is because the Mishnah says Omer from Lloyd Pitla, if a person carries Omer on Shabbos, the amount is the amount that would fit in the mouth of a sheep, which of course is smaller than a cow. Implying, in other words, that it's softer stuff and a sheep would eat it, whereas a sheep wouldn't eat Tevin. So one possibility that the Tiferet Yisrael says a possibility that Tevin might include the bottom part of the stalk, which is much tougher, whereas Omer would be the top part of the stalk, which is much thinner and softer. Whatever it is, the point is, again, that Omer is something soft enough for a sheep to eat. Therefore, the shear is based on the amount that a sheep would eat, whereas Tevin is harder or tougher or whatever it is, and therefore you need a larger amount for a cow. And Osa is the toughest of all, and therefore you need the amount for a camel. Asavim, then if a person carries grass on Shabbos, kimloy pigdi, then the amount would be even smaller, would be the amount that would fit in the mouth, or that would fill up the mouth of a goat. So the rule is going to be like this. Again, when you have something that has multiple purposes, we're generally going to go according to the purpose that has the smaller amount. So let's take, for example, all of these things, any of these things that we're mentioning in the Mishnah, Tevin or Osa or Omer or what have you, all of them could be fed to any. All of them could be fed to a camel. Let's say a camel is tough; it'll eat any of these things. But on the other hand, We're not going to say that all of them you chayev only if there's the amount for a camel, because some of them are able to be fed to smaller animals, tethered to a cow, omer to a sheep, grass to a goat, etc. And therefore, since those are common uses of it also, and those are smaller amounts, then we establish the shear according to that. So we establish the shear. So according to the, basically, and we're saying over here, according to the smallest animal that will normally eat that kind of thing. Next, continues the Mishnah. Alei shum va'alei b'tzalim. If a person takes leaves of garlic plants or leaves of onions, so we're talking about the leaves that stick out above ground. So then, lachim, if they're fresh, kigregeras, then the amount that a person is chayev for carrying on Shabbos would be kigregeras, the size of a dried fig. We said earlier in the parak that anything that involves human, most malachas that involve human food, the shear is a kigregeras. So it is also. The next Mishnah is going to say, as far as the malacha of Hissar as well, that's how it is. And these leaves, fresh garlic leaves or fresh onion leaves, can be eaten by people eat them. Therefore, the shear is the amount that a person would eat. Yevashim, but when they're dry and people won't eat them, kimloy pigdi, then it would be the amount that will fill up a goat's mouth, which is smaller than a kugagas. Because at that point, people won't eat it anymore. And therefore you go down to the size of a goat. So Rashi asks the question, okay, based on the rule we just said, why don't we say, based on the rule that we just said, that we go according to the smallest common use, then why don't we say, if a goat's mouth is smaller than a kugagas, then we should say, either way, it goes according to the goat's mouth. Because even when they're fresh, you could feed them to the goat. So Rashi says, just that because the fresh ones are not edible by a goat, the goat will eat them only when it's dry. The Ritzvah says that no, that it is true that a goat could eat them when they're fresh, but you have it's much more common that people will eat them than that you'll feed them to goats, and therefore you go according to that. So that gives us another criteria over here. You go according, so as we're saying, you go according to the Ritzvah, you go according to the most common use. So the fact that it is edible by a goat, fine, but it's more common for people to eat them, and therefore when they're fresh, you go according to the amount that a person would eat, which is kigregeres. Only when they're dry and a person won't eat them anymore, unless, of course, b'shat adchak, but we're not talking about that, then you would go according to the size of the goat's mouth. Okay. And the Mishnah says, the aim is starting zayim there. Now, all of these different things in the Mishnah do not combine together. If you have, let's say, for example, the first two things in our Mishnah, Tevin and Otta. If you have, let's say, some Tevin and some Otta mixed together, you don't combine them together and say that he's high initially shovel b'shiurein because they don't have the same shiur. Each one has a different shiur because we said one is the size of a cow's mouth and one is the size of a camel's mouth, etc. And therefore, we can't combine them together. Although we'll see in the Gemara details about that when we can combine them and when we can't. We'll get to that at the bottom of the oven. There's more sorts of. My otza, first we need a definition of one of the things we mentioned in the Mishnah, otza. So what is that? I'm going to be heard of tevin shal mine kidney. It means straw from various kinds of beans. So therefore, so you have it's harder and tougher than straw from stalks of wheat or barley or whatever. And therefore, it's not the kind of thing that you would normally feed to a cow. A cow wouldn't be able to chew it, so you would feed it to a camel instead, which is tougher and is able to chew it. So now more on this topic. The author of Gimi, Omar, when Rav Gimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, what if you had a case like this? Hamoti tevin kimloi pipora legomol. What happens if a person carries out the amount of straw that would be enough to feed a cow, but he takes it out on Shabbos intending to feed it to a camel? Now, as we said, a camel has a bigger mouth than a cow. So would he be chayev or not? Rabbi Yochanan Amar chayev, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar potter. So Rabbi Yochanan will say he's chayev, Rabbi Lakish will say he's potter because he didn't carry out enough to feed the camel. So first the Gemara says, before we get into explaining the reasons behind those svaras, First, the Gemara mentions, Rav Gimi says, Rav Yochanan said that one evening, that he'd be chayev. L'tzafra hodave, but in the morning, Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind and said that actually in that case he'd be potter. So let's analyze what those svaris were and why Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind. Amar Rabbi Yosef, shatter obed dehodah. So Rabbi Yosef says, yeah, Rabbi Yochanan did right by changing his mind. It's true. Why should he be chayev in that case? He took it out intending to feed a camel, and that's not enough to feed a camel. So why should he be chayev? Beholech chazul gamel. It's not suitable for a camel. It's not enough straw to feed a camel. So there's no reason to say that he's chayev. The Pnei Yeshua explains that it's one thing when it comes, we said before that according to the Tana of the previous Mishnah, according to the Hachamim, we said once you have an amount that's significant to put away, then we said there's no difference, let's say, between a rich and a poor person. Fine, so you would say that with other kinds of things. But the Pnei Yeshua says maybe when it comes to animal food, Rabbi Yosef would say that it's different. And the fact of the matter is, what's the purpose of this straw is to feed the animal. If you don't even have enough to feed and satisfy the animal, then there's no reason to even bring it out. You're not really accomplishing anything by feeding it to the animal. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef says that there would be a difference what your kavanah was, says the Pnei Yeshua. Oh, so therefore, Rabbi Yosef is saying, yes, so it makes sense that Rish Lakish is saying it's potter, and it makes sense, in fact, that Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind and also said he's potter, because he didn't do something that's useful. You didn't do something, you can't consider it a melacha of Shabbos when he didn't carry an amount that's even useful for the purpose that he wanted to. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya said to Rabbi Yosef, Adraba, just the opposite. Kidme Ikrim Istabra. It's more sensible to say that we should accept what Rabbi Yochanan said originally, and that he shouldn't have changed his mind. Because the fact of the matter is, this amount of straw is suitable to feed to a cow. So who cares whether it's not enough to feed a camel? The fact of the matter is, it is enough to feed a cow. It is davar akoshal asniya. It is masniyim kamayu. And the previous Mishnah told us that those are the two criteria we need to make him chayev chatas. So he should be chayev chatas, even though in this particular case he was going to try to use it for a different animal.
Rabbi, who's to say that the camel's going to reject that? They could eat it and then keep eating it. It'll eventually come to Sevilla.
Well, if you have more straw around, then fine, they're going to continue eating. But if not, then I guess the assumption is that if you give a camel a tiny amount like that, it may not bother eating it because what's for? It's not even going to fill up its mouth. So I guess it's one thing if you're giving it a treat or something, but straw is not exactly a treat. So apparently that's the idea. So again, Rabbi Yosef is saying that it's not considered that you're not accomplishing anything useful. It's not significant enough in this context, and therefore we should pastor him. And Abaya is saying the fact is it would be enough if he was planning to feed it to a cow, and therefore he should be chayev. So it doesn't make sense. Why would Rabbi Yochanan change his mind when you have such a simple svara that he should be chayev? Why would Rabbi Yochanan change his mind? So it can't be, in other words, so we're saying basically that it can't be that what Rav Dimi is saying, how he presented the machlokas, is correct. So the Gemara says, yes, Elof the author Robin. So no, what happened was when Robin came, and as we've learned before, what happened was generally the order was Rav Dimi would come first from Eretz Yisrael and bring reports of what they were learning in Eretz Yisrael in the yeshivas, and then later on Robin would come, and if there was anything, and sometimes he would correct or expand on what Rav Dimi had said. So he also Robin. So later on, when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said the machlokas is rather like this. Hamoisi Kevin Kim Loifi Parla Gomo de Kula Amalek Pligi de Chayim. No, in the case that we were just in the case where Dimi was talking about, where he carried out enough straw that could feed a cow, and instead he brought that out for a camel. Of course he's chayim. Like Abaya said, it doesn't make a difference the fact that in this particular case he wants to feed it to a camel. It's still davar akosher latsnia. It's still masniyim kamayu. So of course he's got to be chayim, and even Rish Lakish has to agree with that. Key plea, what would be machlokes Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish? The motzi also kimloi pi para lapara. The machlokes would be, what if you carry out osa on Shabbos, which again, we said in the Mishnah, osa, the straw from bean plants, is harder and tougher, and a cow doesn't normally eat it. So let's say you carry out a cow's mouth full of it, lepora, where you're bringing it out for a cow. Now, it is something that normally a cow won't eat, but the shastat chak, but alideh chak, in a pinch, a cow would eat it. So in this particular case, therefore, he carried out an amount that's enough to feed a cow where it could actually feed a cow in a pinch. So would he be chayev or not? Or would we say that he's only chayev if he carries out the amount for a camel, as we said in our Mishnah? So that's the machlokes, the ifcha itmar. And furthermore, Robin says also Rav Dimi mixed up who said chayev and who said potter. That Rav Yechanan am a potter, Rav Shlokish am a chayev. Then in this case that we're talking about, Rav Yechanan would say he's potter and Rav Shlokish would say he's chayev. Namely, Rav Yechanan am a potter, achila aliget chas lo shmo achila. Rav Yechanan would take the view that when you have something which can only be eaten in a pinch, then you can't consider that achila relative to the dinim of Shabbos. Tosfos points out, as far as other dinim, we might consider it achila. For example, as far as the dinim of nizikin, but regarding malachas of Shabbos, we're not going to consider it. We're not going to consider it achila. We're going to go according to the normal use of this thing, not something that it could be used for in a pinch. And therefore, osur is not normally eaten by a cow. So in this case, he would be kosher. Now, obviously, we're not talking about osur. We're not talking about where he specifically put it aside to begin with, intending to feed it to the cow, v'shatat chak, because that was the previous Mishnah where he told us that he's chayev on the grounds of achshavei. But we're saying in the normal case, he didn't specifically set it aside before Shabbos. Now, on Shabbos, he decided, I have my cows out in Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to go bring it some osur to eat. So Rav Yechanan would say he'd be potter for that because he's not bringing out an amount which is enough to feed a camel, and the fact that you're able to give it to a cow al-yidat chak is not considered significant enough. Rish Lakish on the chayev, because achila al-yidat chak, shmo achila. Rish Lakish would say that the fact that the cow could eat it, the shatat chak, would be considered significant. Therefore, he's chayev for it. Okay. So that would be the version of the machlokes. And we would say... So we would say therefore that you have machlokes, Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish on it. Normally in a machlokes, Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish, the halacha is like Rav Yechanan usually. Here, you can see the Surah Tashach took the base by Rish Lakish, that achila ayat chak shmo achila, and in fact the Rambam passes accordingly. So therefore, if he takes out this straw, this osa, intending to feed it to a cow, then he would actually be chayev because achila ayat chak shmo achila. Why the Rambam does that, I'm not sure, because usually when we have Rav Yechanan versus Rish Lakish, usually the halacha is like Rish Lakish. Maybe the Rambam says because we can assume that maybe the Rambam would say that we would take the view that we're explaining the machlokas in a different way, but not necessarily should we flip around the opinions the way that Robin is doing it. Or maybe that I'm unfigured, since we have, as Tosfos points out, in other contexts we do, for example in the halachas of Nizikin, we do say that Achila Ayat Chak Shmo Achila, so maybe that Imam applies that over here also. We would accept that principle. And say that in this case he would be chayav.
Rabbi, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, b'shas adchak, the camel's going to eat it. It's just a matter. It's not a question: is it going to eat it or not? It's a matter: is that considered to be achila? In other words, is it going to get satisfied?
Well, so that's the thing. In other words, that's the point. If you fed this amount to a camel, it wouldn't be satisfied, therefore you haven't really accomplished anything. But the question is, here you were taking this out in order to feed it to a cow. And therefore we're saying that, nevertheless, he would be chayev because achila ayat chak shmo achila. So one thing is actually that the Masoros Hashat that it mentions over here, it points out that the Kesef Mishnah mentions a different Gusa, that the Machlokas is not with Rosh Lakish, but rather with Rav Oshia. And when you have Rav Oshia against Rav Yochanan, then the Halacha is like Rav Oshia. So therefore, so that would be why the Rambam is fasting like that, because the Rambam has the Gusa, that's not the opinion of Rosh Lakish, but rather the opinion of Rav Oshia. I see actually where there's another one of the notes of Kalim on the Rambam who says that maybe what it is the same way in Rav Dimi's version we said that Rav Yochanan changed his mind. Maybe in Robin's version we would also say that Rav Yochanan changed his mind and ended up agreeing with Rosh Lakish. Okay, whatever it is, that's how it is.
By that logic, you could replace any animal, and if I have a little piece of tuna fish that my cat likes, then I'm chayev.
Well, tuna fish, remember, is Michael Odom. And we said in the Mishnah as far as the onion and garlic leaves, that when they're edible by people, then we go according to the shear for people food. So then we would say that in that case, it would only be if it was a progetus of tuna. But if you're talking about, let's say it was cat food, and it was made into cat food, and a person is not going to eat it, fine, then it would be the amount that it would be the minimum amount that you would normally feed a cat. The stamina then would be, I guess, the amount that would fill up the cat now, if I don't know. But the point is,
extending a bit beyond the halachas of Shabbos, cat food that has chametz, are you chayev to have it on Pesach or not?
You're not allowed to have it on Pesach, but that's actually an example of Achshavei, because you want to have it in order to feed your cat. But that's a different matter. Let's talk about that in the next section.
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
We said in the Mishnah, Omer Kimloy Pikle, we said that if a person carries out soft straw on Shabbos, then the amount is the amount that would fill up a sheep's mouth of a baby sheep, actually a player that is a lamb. So the question is, Valtanya Kizugeres, we learn in another Braisa, the amount is Kizugeres, the size of a dried fig. The answer is, the Gemara says, Aydi ba'aydi, had shihuru, it's actually the same shiur. It's actually the amount that fits inside, the amount that fills up a lamb's mouth is equal to Kizugeres. The Tosfos says, in that case, why did the Mishnah use the expression Kimloy Pikler? Why didn't it just say Kigugeres? The reason is, Tosfos says, because if the Mishnah had said Kigugeres, we wouldn't understand the reason behind it. What do you mean? Kigugeres is the amount of human food. Human beings don't eat don't eat Omir. So why should we be Chayev? Therefore, the Mishnah put it in terms of us. Now we understand, because it's the kind of thing that you feed to a lamb. But it happens to be the amount equal to Kigugeres. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, Alei Shumba Alei Tzolim, we said as far as onion leaves and garlic leaves, Lachin Kigugeres, we said if they're fresh, then the amount is the Kigugeres, the Yavashim Kimlekiagzi, if they're dry, then the amount is the amount that would fill up a goat's mouth, because then you could only feed them to goats. The Amos Stifen Zang Zed, we said the various things that we mentioned in our Mishnah do not come, but this is the part that Gemara is going to focus on. These various things that we're mentioning in the Mishnah do not combine together. In other words, if you have half of one and half of another, they don't combine together. Mishlah shavu b'shir dayen, because we said they're not equal in their shear, and each one has a different shear, and therefore they can't combine them together. So the Gemara mentions, Amar Rav Yosi b'chamina, what it means is, when we say they don't combine, ein mitstartim l'chomo shabahen, av mitstartim l'chal shabahen. They don't combine together as far as the more stringent one, but they do as far as the more lenient one. Now, what do we mean by chomer and kal over here? You have, let's say, for example, in our Mishnah, of all the various kinds of straw or grass, that let's say, for example, the three kinds of straw that we mentioned in our Mishnah, Teben, Asa, and Omer, of those, Omer is the most chomer, because the shear for it is the smallest, the size of a lamb's mouth, which we said is kigugeres. Meanwhile, we said regular straw is the size of a cow's mouth, which is larger, and also the straw from bean plants, we said, is even larger, the amount for a camel's mouth. So therefore, we would say that Omer, the soft straw, is the most chomer, then regular straw is more kal than that, and also is the most kal of that. So the Yosef of Chedira says, when we say that you can't combine them together, means as far as the chomer. So if, let's say, for example, we said, that the amount of Omer would be the amount that would fill up the mouth of a lamb, which we said was a kigugeres. So let's say you had half a kigrigeris of omer, and then you had mixed in with it or combined together with it, you had half a kigrigeris of keved, then it wouldn't be considered combined together, and you wouldn't be chayav for carrying it on Shabbos. Avo mixtars of lakal shebehen, but they do combine together as far as a more lenient one. So let's say you have, for example, some osa, but not quite enough to feed a camel, and then you have more tevin, and together you have the amount of tevin plus osa is enough to feed a camel. Then Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina says you would be chayav for it. So that's what we mean. That can be mitzvah lakal, but not lachomer. So to use the examples that Rashi mentions, so you have, let's say, if you had half of a cow's mouth worth of tevin, then you mixed it with half a cow's worth of osa, then you're not chayev, because the combination is not enough to feed a cow, only ayyad chak. And we said before that unless you specifically intended it to do it ayyad chak, that it's not going to work. But it would combine together if you have half a camel's mouth of osa plus half a camel's mouth of tevin, then it would combine because the whole thing is edible by a gomel, by a camel. So the Gemara says, is that the rule? Behold, the leshovel b'shirayu mimitzarfin. So are you telling now? Tosfos points out it does have to be. It does have to be that the two things have about the same use. I mean, in this case, for example, once you have tevin and osa are mixed together, you could feed them to a camel. But if you're talking about two completely different things where they don't even have anything resembling the same purpose, then you don't do that. Then you wouldn't combine them together even like that. So the Gemara asks, "Behold, the shovel b'shiurayim b'mitzarfin." So are you telling me that whenever things have different shiurim, you're able to combine them together to make something which is more kal, like in this case, to make the amount that you would feed a camel? Well, it's none. But we learn in connection with the dinim of tumah v'tahara, we discussed this earlier in the Masechta, that different kinds of materials have different amounts that are the minimum amounts to be mekabel tumah. Have beged shloisha al shloisha. When it comes specifically, we're talking about over here about tumas nidras, the tumah that you have when a zov sits or leans or stands or whatever on something, which as we learned previously on Daf Nun Tes, that it would only apply if it's something that's made for sitting or lying or whatever on. Not if it's something where you tell them I'm moed benasim alachenu, get up, we want to use this for our work. But anyway, within that, you have different materials, have different sizes that are the minimum amount for it to be makabel tuma or tumas nidras. So the Mishnah says there, Mishnah in Kalim, have beged shloisha al shloisha, a piece of cloth, and the minimum shield for it to be makabel tumas nidras is 3x3 tochim. So now we learned previously in the second paragraph that when we're talking about the tuma of tzaras or certain other kinds of tumas, then we said it's 3x3 etzbos. But as far as tumas nidras, 3x3 etzbos is not large enough to sit on. So therefore, you need 3x3 tefachim. Vasak, a sackcloth, which is made out of goat hair, coarser material. Then you need a larger amount, abra al abra. Then you need 4x4 tefachim for it to be makabel tumah of tumas nidras. V'ha'or chamisha al chamisha, a piece of leather, you need at least 5x5 tefachim. Mapas vav al vav. A mat made out of straw, you need at least 6x6 reeds or whatever, you need 6x6 for him. Now thus far the Mishnah, the Tani Allah, then we learn in a Braitha in connection with that Mishnah, Habeged Basak, suppose you have a piece of cloth sewed together with a piece of sackcloth, or Hasak V'Ha'er, or a piece of sackcloth sewn together with a piece of leather, ha'or v'hamapas, or a piece of leather sewn together with a piece of a mat, mitzayif and zamzeh, they can combine one with another. So if let's say, for example, you have, with a mat, we said, you need 6x6 tefachim. So let's say you had a piece of mat, which was only 5x6 tefachim, and then you sewed onto it a strip of leather, which was 1x6, and now the whole thing makes a square 6x6, But the Braita is saying it combines together, and now you have something which is Makabal Tumah of Nidras. The Omer of Shimon, Matam, and Rav Shimon says, why, Taka, why would they combine together like that? You when you normally wouldn't combine them like that. The reason is, because they are suitable to be metame by sitting on, meaning, in other words, that what you could do is, let's say, so if you have, let's say, you're making a chair or a cover for a chair or whatever, you would never do that. You would never take a piece of a mat, let's say, and attach to it a piece of leather and sit on it, or if you were going to sit on the floor or whatever. But if, let's say, you were going to be using it for a saddle, for a donkey, then, or a saddle blanket, whatever, then you might. You don't care if it's patched up of different materials, as long as you have something that you're able to sit on top of the donkey. So therefore, you would do that. In fact, Rashi refers to that the another Mishnah there in Palin says that if a person were to take a whole bunch, if a person were to take some of these materials and make something one tefach by one tefach, then it's enough to be mekabel tumas midras, because again he can use it as a patch for a donkey's saddle. So the same thing over here. Reb Shimon says that so over here we're not talking about something which is going to be which is going to be used as a patch. We're talking about something which is going to be sitting on independently. Therefore, you need a larger shear, but still you're able to combine together different things to make that larger shear, just like you would be able to combine together smaller things to make a patch for a donkey's saddle. So we see in that case, so that's the point, the Gemara says. So Taima, Yeru'uyin, L'tame, B'moshav. So why are we saying that you're able to combine them together, and therefore... in that case, you're saying, let's say, a piece of a mat would combine together with a piece of leather. And by the way, a number of Rishonim say, Tosfos mentions it over here. Tosfos also mentions it in a Gemara in Sukkah, that, let's say, for example, it wouldn't work if, let's say, for example, you had most of the thing was mat, and then you had a little piece of cloth attached to it to make up the 6x6, that wouldn't work because a mat and cloth are so different in thickness that they wouldn't combine together. So only you have, let's say, for example, leather, it's almost as thick as a mat. Therefore, it's similar enough that you can combine them together, but not if they're that widely, not if it's not widely far apart. Anyway, the point is that only over there, so there we have a special reason, because there is significance when you put together different materials to make a patch for a saddle for a donkey. So by the same logic, you can make a thing made of a piece of cloth or a piece of mat or whatever made up of a few different materials, made up of two different materials, let's say, and you would sit on it. But where you don't have that consideration, if it was something where people don't usually combine them together, Lloyd, then you wouldn't say that. So now, you don't usually combine together, you know, returning to our mission then, you don't usually combine together, let's say, Teben and Osa to feed to a camel. So why should you be Chayav Chatos for the mixture of it when it's enough to feed a camel? The answer is Amar Rava, Chochinami Chozi L'dugma. Because the answer is actually in this case, when it comes to different kind of animal food, you could use it when you have some of one and some of the other. Namely, you could use it as a sample in your store. So let's say, for example, you have a store where you sell animal food. So you're going to put in the window of your store, you're going to put the different kinds of animal food that you have over there to advertise, to show that you have all these things for sale. So then actually what you're going to do is, now, okay, let's say it's not in your window. Let's say it actually mentions the wind might blow it. So you're going to have it, let's say, in front of your store in the marketplace or something. The problem is if you only have, let's say, a tiny amount of tevin or a tiny amount of osso or whatever, the wind is very likely to blow it away. So what do? You mix it all into one big pile. And then that way, when a prospective buyer comes by, they're going to be experienced. They deal with animals all the time, so they can see at a glance that this pile contains teven and contains osa and contains whatever else. And they're going to say, good, that means this guy has all those things for sale. But adrabe, you want them then to be combined together, because if they were separate, then they would just blow away. So therefore, that's a case where, so similar to the way you might combine together different kinds of cloth or material or whatever to make a thing to sit on, the same way over here you would combine together different kinds of things to make an amount that you're going to put, that you're going to put out for advertising to show people that you have those things for sale, and therefore it is significant enough that it can combine together. So again, it wouldn't work if, let's say, you had a pile over there that was only large enough to feed a cow, and half the pile was tevin and half the pile was upsa. Then not, because you're not going to do that, because anyway, you can't even that amount, you wouldn't feed that to a cow, since a cow doesn't normally eat upsa, and nobody would bother. If you had that amount out, nobody would pay attention to it. So you'd put out the amount of that, let's say that would feed a camel, and then when a person comes by, then they would see, okay, I see that you have enough material to feed a camel, and I see that in there you have the different kinds of things which I can feed a camel, or I can feed a cow or whatever. So therefore, so it would actually combine. That's how Rashi learns the question and the answer. Tosfos learns the question and the answer. Tosfos learns the question and the answer differently. The question is that given that we're saying as far as the cloth and the sackcloth and the leather and whatever, that each one has a different shear, but we're also saying that sometimes they have the same shear, because again we said if you have any of them, you make a tefach size piece, and even if it's combined together with two of them, and you're using it for a patch, for a donkey's blanket, then you chayev. So over here, where you have a case where there's the same shear for all these kinds of things, and the answer is you do when you're putting it on display in order to advertise, because then you're not necessarily, so Tosfos learns differently than Rashi. You're not necessarily then putting out only the amount, let's say, that you would feed a camel or whatever. You might put out smaller amounts because you just want to advertise. You just want to show that you have these amounts for sale. And again, you combine them all together. And again, you might combine them together to keep them from blowing away. You might not. But the point is, there is a case where all of them have the same shear, namely where you're putting them out for display. And therefore, once we have that in that case, all of them have the same shear, then the same way in other cases, we can also say that they combine together. That's how Tosfos learns the question and the answer. Okay. Mishnah says, Hamotzi ochlin kegregeres chayev, if a person carries out on Shabbos food, and here we're talking about human food, in the amount of a kegregeres, then he's chayev chatos for carrying it out. Now, unlike the animal food that we said in the previous Mishnah, here the various kinds of human food do combine together. They should shovel with shiureyan because they do all have the same shear. All kinds of human food are a kigigeres. Therefore, you can combine them together. So let's say you have a half kigigeres of bread and a half a kigigeres of tuna fish, let's say. Then, yeah, it would combine together and a person would be chayav chatos for it. The Pashtus, by the way, it sounds like the Mishnah is saying that would be the case even if these are two kinds of foods that you would never eat together, because the fact is they are both human food, and a person could eat one and then eat the other. Chutz miklipostan, with the exception of, you don't count towards the kinugeres, you don't count the peels or shells of the food, because people don't eat them. Obviously, we're talking about the kind of peels or shells that are not edible. So we're not talking about like apple peels or whatever. We're talking about, let's say, like orange peels, say. Big garine, and also the kugigeres doesn't include the seeds for the same reason, because you don't eat them. Vuktsehen, it also doesn't include the stems of the fruit. Like, let's say, for example, the stem of an apple. Vesubon, umursanon, it also doesn't include the subin and mursan, which are different parts of the wheat kernel that before, when you want to get white flour, you remove those first. We learned previously that you have when you're preparing wheat to make it into flour, and then eventually you grind it up into flour and you sift it. So you have like this. You have the various shells outside the wheat kernel that are completely inedible, and you remove those during the process of dosh and zoda. Then you have, there's an inner shell, which is more tightly attached to the wheat kernel. In English, we call it bran. And that's, Rashi explains over here, that's what subin is. So therefore, we learned earlier in the perek normally what you do when you want white flour is you do a process called kosesh or ksisha, which is you pound the grains in a mortar or something, and that loosens this bran, that loosens this shell, and then you can remove it. And then you have what's left is mostly what can be ground up into white flour. And then in addition, you also have mursan, which is basically the wheat gerb. You have, Rashi defines, hanisha banafa, what's left over in the sieve when you're sifting the flour. So those kinds of things. Again, if you want pure white flour, then you don't include any of those things. Then when you have whole wheat flour, then you do. You have whole wheat flour, includes the subin, includes the outer shell over there, the bran. It also includes it does also include the wheat germ. But the way so as the Gemara is going to say, that poor people will eat that. Poor people can't afford to get good white bread, so they eat whole wheat bread or pumpernickel bread or whatever. Nowadays, of course, many people do anyway for health reasons, but we're not getting into that. But anyway, the point is that in our Mishnah, we're saying that if a person carries out grain on Shabbos, we would have to figure out whether the amount of grain that would make the white flour, in English it's called the endosperm of the wheat kernels, whether that adds up to a trigger again. We would have to subtract the subin and the mursam. Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree that most shells and peels don't count towards the triggeris, but there is an exception. Except for the shells of lentils, which are cooked together with them. Rabbi Yehuda would say that those do combine towards the tigger. As we're going to see it now, Rashi explains that actually lentils have two shells. There's an outer shell when you harvest the lentils and store them away, then that dries up. That's not the kind of Yehuda that's talking about. He's talking about the inner shell of the lentils. The pashtus, I guess we mean the actual outer layer of the lentil, like you have. You know, you buy lentils in the store and they're reddish or whatever. He's talking about that shell. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, the subin and mursan and loy mitzarfin. You're telling me that the subin and the mursan, the bran and the wheat germ, don't combine together to make the shear, to make the kugigeres. Why not, Botnan? We learn in a Mishnah in Challah when it comes to how much dough you have to have in order to be chayav in Challah. Chamesh yisruvoyin kemach va'oid chayav in Challah. 5 quarters, meaning 5 tavim of dough and a drop more, are chayav in Challah. It's actually a machlot tanoim whether it's va'oid or not, but whatever, the point is that you have a minimum amount of challah. The amount is 5 tavim. Those kinds of tavim, by the way, we're not going to get into the details of it now, but those kinds of tavim are different than the regular tavim we have throughout Shas. These are called midas tipodius, and they're much larger. They're almost 1.5 times the size of a kav that we have in most places in Shas. You have different poskim nowadays argue what the amount is. It's anywhere between about 3 and 5 pounds. Anyway, so that's chayav and challah. Hein, and that means you have the main part of the wheat grain itself, the endosperm, which was ground up into white flour, vis subon umursanon, and the subin and the mursan, which were ground up in it with it and made into flour, and you have a whole wheat flour now. All of that counts towards the kugigeta. So why in our Mishnah are we saying it doesn't? Amar Abaye shekein oni oicho pita de'isa blusa. Abaye says the reason is because when it comes to challah, a poor person eats his dough mixed like that, meaning he doesn't sift it to get out the subin and the mursan. So only a person who can afford that does that. So therefore, it can be called lechem, it can be called bread. And since the pasuk says that you have to take challah from lechem, then therefore this is counted as lechem. But on the other hand, when it comes to Shabbos, then you have most people don't eat subin and mursan. Most people prefer white bread. Whether that's the case nowadays, I don't know. But in any case, in those days, most people preferred white bread. So therefore, you can't say that if you carry out a tugigeres where it includes the subin and the mursan, that it would be important to most people. Because most people aren't that poor, basically.
When we say kol kosher lehatzniya, does that mean according to everybody as opposed to that individual ani who is important for him?
Ah, so that was a matter of actually that we talked about before. If this particular ani wants to keep this piece of dough, this piece of bread or whatever, even though it has suvan and mosan, because for him that's important, then yeah, he'd be high for it, but we're talking about everybody else. Okay, the Tosis Rid learns a little bit differently. He says that if once the bread was already baked and it was baked as whole wheat bread, then yeah, everybody would be chayav for it because the fact is it is edible. He says that's when we're saying in the Mishnah that the silver and the mursan don't count. It means when it's still in the form of grain or when it's still in the form of flour or whatever, where the silver and the mursan could still be removed or sifted out. Whereas once it's in the form of bread already, then it's too late to remove it. Then it would count. Okay. We said in the Mishnah of Yehuda Oymachus Meklipei Adoshim Hamisbash L'Simahan. We said Rabbi Yehuda says that there's an exception when it comes to the shells of lentils which are cooked with them. So implying the Gemara says Adoshim Ein Poydemoy. So Rabbi Yehuda would say that only about lentils. He wouldn't say that about other kinds of beans. V'Hatanya Rabbi Yehuda Oymer. We have a braisa where Rabbi Yehuda says, with the exception of the shells of beans and of beans and of lentils. So we see that he says that beans are also an exception. The answer is there's no contradiction because the braisa is talking about when the beans are fresh and then the shells of them are also fresh. And those count towards the food because you cook them together with it. As opposed to Haba Atiki, whereas on Mishnah that mentions only lentils, and it's talking about when they're old, and then the shell of the beans doesn't count. So Atiki, my time alloy, why Takana? Why wouldn't it count in that case? Because they look like flies in the plate. Because when the beans get older, you store the beans away for a while, and the shells of them, even the shells or the peels of them, eventually start getting darker in color. So eventually, if you put it into a pot and started cooking it up, then those black things floating around in it look like flies, and then nobody's going to eat the things. It looks disgusting. So therefore, nobody would bother to begin with cooking the beans with those old dried shells with them. So those old dried shells don't count towards the kivugetas because you wouldn't cook them with it anyway, and then you wouldn't eat them. But when it comes to when the shells are fresh, then yes, that's what the braisa is saying, that Rabbi Yehuda would say they count as well. Okay.
One question: when you say kol ha'ochlim mitstarfim zeim zeh, does that mean according to most people, as opposed to that particular person, let's say meat and milk, or he can't eat that thing, particular thing at that point for whatever reason? Make any difference?
No, the pasuk is not. I mean, again, according to Rav Shimon, we said before, where we said before, Rav Shimon holds that even when it's something kosher lasnu, masnian kamayu, but if you particularly find a different a larger shear to be significant, we said, let's say, for example, we said with the example of the straw, that let's say you're a rich person and the amount of straw that would feed one cow is not enough for you because you wouldn't bother. You have many cows anyway. So Rav Shimon would say you chayev only for a larger amount. We said the Chachamim disagree with that. So yeah, the Samer of Rav Shimon maybe would say the same thing in your case also. If let's say, for example, you're talking about a food that this person wouldn't eat, maybe he wouldn't be chayev for it. But or maybe not. Maybe even Rav Shimon would say, because the fact is most other people would eat it. But in any case, our Mishnah just said generically all foods combined. So preposterous means even food that you can't eat together, like milk and meat. The fact is, okay, you could eat one, and then later on you could eat the other one. I mean, even if it comes to meat and milk, let's say, for example, you know, keep in mind, on a daraisa level, you're allowed to eat milk and meat one after the other, right? You're even allowed to eat them together. You're just not allowed to cook them together. So it could still be considered. So it could still be considered that they're mistaken, because conceivably, at least on a daraisa level, you could eat them one after the other. But again, I don't know for sure. But the pastor, since the Mishnah is just saying generically that all foods combined without specifying, Bapashkas means even if those foods are not normally eaten together, or even if you're not allowed to eat them together, or even if you yourself can't eat them, because again, the halacha is like the Chachamim, not like Rosh Shimon, that once you have a shear that applies to most people, then it applies to everybody, even if for you particularly, that shear is not enough to be significant. Okay.
But the other way around, let's say you have a shear of one kazais, but it's achshavi for someone at half a kazais or a third of a kazais, then he's still going to be chayim, correct?
So for that person, he'd be chayim. Again, we had the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who said that once it was achshavi for one person, then it's considered achshavi for everybody, and everybody would be chayim for that particular thing that was put away. Again, the halacha is not like him. The halacha is like a chachamim. So only the person who put away that half kazayis, in your example, would be chayim for it. Everybody else, you'd need the larger amount to be chayim.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Shkayach.
Shkayach, everyone.